This is your one-stop shop for all things deals, discounts and tips when it comes to buying pretty much anything, really. And on this week's episode, we have to talk about it, don't we? We were sad in December that there were no shit winter wonderlands. Good news! The best one was just around the corner, the Glasgow Wonka experience. We're going to talk about that. Plus, there is a salary calculator that reveals exactly how big a pay rise you need to keep up with the rising costs of everything. Welcome to False Economy.
Powered by Hot UK Deals, the UK's number one app for deals, discounts and freebies.
I'm Vic Slayton, consumer champion, shopaholic and occasional comedian. Joining me once again, it is the man, the legend, the football icon that is Paul Watson. Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Obscure football icon, Paul Watson.
Oh, yeah. No, don't put the obscure bit in. Just, I think we'll leave that as football icon and people will think, what, did he play for Chelsea or something, this guy? And I'll just...
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe I did.
Yeah, it's a fairly generic name. If someone told me Paul Watson played for Chelsea, I'd believe him.
It's brilliantly generic. And if you combine generic name with generic standard man face, yeah, it's great. I'm pretty anonymous.
You've got the handsome man face, though. You know, very pleasant to look at. Easy on the eye. I'm sure other people
nice
will
old,
agree with me on Twitter.
No, it's a good old 6 out of 10 man face, and it'll get you a long way. Not good looking enough to annoy people. Not bad looking enough to annoy people.
I don't know. I think you could be intimidatingly attractive if you weren't so, you know, knowingly, a little bit...
aloof.
Mm. Yes.
I am cutting that from my poster quote as intimidatingly attractive, ..
Yeah, I think you could be if you weren't so loving, lovely approachable... Mm. Sort of shambolic, man.
Like you genuinely you. Don't know.
Blunts the edge.
No, yeah. But this is a lovely start to the pod. Thank you for it.
Just thank accept you. Your attractiveness.
That's really nice.
And on the other side of me is the brilliant, also beautifully attractive Charlotte Redding. How are you?
Very well.
New to Twitter, Charlotte Redding.
Yeah, joined.
Welcome.
I've joined the dark side. It's mostly so I can keep up with current affairs because Vic talks about them all the time and I'm like, who is this?
Oh yeah, when I'm showing a meme that's based on 10 memes from the last decade and they stack and you have to understand every single one to get the joy of it, the lore of Twitter... And Charlotte's looking at me horrified. I do question all of the life choices and the things that I've chosen to learn and keep close to myself when I don't know basic arithmetic.
Yeah, like we're at a point now where sometimes my reaction to something will be a Twitter meme or a meme in response to a Twitter meme. And I can basically convey that by just saying the name of that or the and people will go yes like that, and so if you don't even have that
absolutely none my knowledge of popular culture is absolutely dire.
Like I can't believe this person has done this and you're
who?
Just every time, and sometimes you do it just to troll me now, but 99% of the time you genuinely just don't know
insert
who these
the name
are.
Of literally any celebrity, actor, musician over the last 20, 30 years, and I'll go, who? Sometimes just to be obnoxious.
You're going to enjoy Twitter, yeah.
I think it is for you, though. You've got opinions.
I've got too many opinions.
You've got so many opinions. And the beauty of Twitter is you will find people with that opinion.
I like the idea of being able to sort of lightly troll people. I think that's what I'm ready for. I have kind of mentally set a timer on myself, like how long before I get banned?
The trouble is you won't get banned.
No.
You'll just get more and more
radicalized
more following of the shame movement.
The shame movement.
Shame movement.
It really works.
Because I was tempted to put like in my bio, shame advocate. But I feel like unless you really have listened to the podcast, I just sound like an arsehole.
Do you think listening to the podcast would change that view if someone got it?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That particular segment, though, where you advocated the bring it back of shame.
Look, I justified it.
Yeah, and that's what matters. If you justify it, you can say it. That is the beauty of Twitter. Speaking of things that are easy to pillarise, let's talk about the Willy Wonka experience.
Oh, iconic.
Very rarely does something of this magnitude bring us together in such an innocent way than a bad Wonderland experience.
I think there's a sort of a really funny irony to it is that we all, over the course of about a week, got to explore it through the release of certain pictures and images of it. It's like, I feel like we were on a mystical journey to explore the Wonderland.
Yeah, you thought you knew how bad it was, and then a new video would drop, and you were like, no, it's so much worse.
It's like, oh, sorry. Have you been to the Chocolate River yet? Sorry.
Just the innocent raging against something that was just some absolute shyster trying to get away with ripping off loads of people. And like, it was a safe, it might as well have been a landlord. It was a safe person for us all to dislike immensely. Like, it was really, it was a wholesome.
But is there a person? Is there a face to the villain? Is there a person? Because I've seen the actors, but obviously they're not at fault. So, but I haven't seen a face of like the actual scammer here.
So there's a company that obviously set it up, but it's been
called House of Illuminati, which should give you a clue. You it's know, been it's something sort of that doesn't exist.
But wow!
But it's just been sort of considered to be one of those sort of AI scam companies.
But they're a genuine events company, and their website is so shit.
It was probably all AI generated as well. I'm sorry.
They've done they've got the audacity to say they could do people's weddings, and there's like one picture of an event that they've done, and they've just dangled silks from the roof. Like, if you looked into it, you'd be like, nah, this is not going to be any good. But people don't. People still believe the advertising. And where did those people stand? They paid £35 to £40 per ticket. Where do they stand on that money? Are they getting that back, Charlotte?
They are, because the company has agreed to. But I suppose from everything, because I started to wonder, actually, how wrong does it have to be legally? Legally, what have they promised here? It's not like when we read those sort of a ticket to event things and you see exactly what's included, which is access to this bar and it's all
access
this stuff.
Access to the bar, remember?
Yeah, access to bars, you know, and toilets.
Access to bars. But that kind of
music.
Stuff, like, you
get
a list.
No, it's a soundtrack.
Yeah.
What's even music?
A live soundtrack.
Noise.
But you get a full detailed list of what's included. If you've bought a ticket for something that doesn't have that, they are well within their rights to serve you whatever they think is covered under that brief. Legally, you're entitled to a refund if the event is cancelled, rescheduled or changed.
So just it being really shit is not...
So only, I think, because of the power of social media and because of the uproar in the press that surrounded it, has the company had to really turn around and give everyone a refund. Because until, like, they promise something, until they promise you more than, which, by the way, a chocolate factory with no chocolate was given out.
A single jelly bean.
You know, like, until they promised that you would get chocolate,
yeah,
they're fine to give you a single jelly bean.
And belly jean.
A single belly jean. And a quarter cup of lemonade.
But I would have expected them to just disappear into the ether,
into the
right?
Sun.
Because in a way, it's kind of amazing they've decided to maintain this company's existence. Like, why wouldn't you just, not recommending this, but you thought they might just dissolve it,
I reckon,
take the money and run and set up a new company. It seems to be really easy to do that.
What these sort of AI companies who set up these events do is just duplicate them all around the country. So they use the same brief.
Oh, yeah, that was one of a tool,
yeah,
wasn't it?
So they use the same brief, the same AI-generated materials, and just add a different city to it. So what I'm willing to bet is that they have a set of other events doing the same things up and down the country, and they wouldn't have wanted their entire company to go into disrepute. That would have obviously changed that. I mean, they have.
But it was just one
that would just
Willy
be
Wonka
one,
experience. That
I imagine they have
unrolled
other
any
AI-generated events, experiences.
But the odds are equal that they have to disappear into obscurity, or they set up another terrible event and people like me will pay the full price to experience it with my own eyes.
I want to pay for them to do a wedding.
I was going to say, in
people
this...
are like, is it Banksy's work? Like, genuinely. Is this a Banksy?
Is this Banksy?
Yeah, exactly. But he could look like Banksy literally tried that and couldn't do it as well as these people.
I mean, if you consider it, like, the funniest thing to me is, to a certain extent, what they got was an experience.
Oh, yeah.
They've paid for it. So that,
and they got to say they were there.
Yeah.
You know, they've all made money off it. And every single person that was involved is like, oh, boo-hoo, I didn't get my £200 fee. But I saw those Oompa Loompas on this morning last week.
Your life is played
that's
out.
That's not a phrase you say every day.
No, that is an opportunity, isn't it?
You know, the 16-year-old that played The Unknown, which is my favourite
The Unbasketball thinking of that was the perfect end to this sequence for me. I was just like, oh, yes. And, you know, seeing games like Animal Crossing set up their little station, that like all the Sims had a version of it. You can walk around.
In a weird way, you'd think the people who organise this could be an absolute goldmine for them one way or another, right? This is the world that we're in with social media as well, is that however badly things go, that could be a success. What you don't want to do is something average because no one cares. But if you totally screw up, you probably can make a career out of that.
Their next event, this thing, if the next event is great, fine. Yeah. It'll just fly under the radar. The next time they do something shit, it'll be, they're at it again, or they've done it again. If the House it, of it Illuminati.
Could be like an, as you say, like it could be an ironic thing that you sell to like students or, I don't know, hen parties.
It'll
stag
be an Alice
dudes,
in Wonderland like, one next. Like,
or we went to the shittest restaurant on TripAdvisor and this is what we found. So many people, you know, there's so much market for that.
Yeah.
Because people are just looking to create content all the time. But we bemoaned the lack of Winter Wonderlands that were terrible, and it was worth the wait, wasn't it, I think?
Outstanding. I will never be the same again.
Let's talk about how much of a pay rise we'd need to keep up with the cost of living crisis. Someone's made a calculator. Isn't that harrowing?
Sounds fun.
Well, we've been talking about this for a while, haven't we, that people are working the hardest they can and they're feeling like they're failing because they're not making ends meet, when actually the ends are getting further and further away. You are not working with the same piece of string because what you've got doesn't go far enough. And it has now been formalised in an actual calculator.
And the numbers are kind of harrowing. There's a really interesting thing about it. I mean, it kind of hurts to look at. So there are a sort of three classes of sort of what banding you sit at and how much you need. So obviously, like, inflation about kind of 4.2%, the average kind of that wages must increase is at least 4.6% to keep in line with it. But because of obviously the amount of personal allowance people have and the fact that there are different tax bandings depending on how much you earn for higher earners and things, the amount you need is not necessarily the rate of inflation. It's for some people substantially higher. So the people on the national minimum wage working 38 hours a week, you would need to find an extra £1,187 annually.
Okay, annually.
Yeah,
right, okay.
Not monthly. Like, annually, annually to keep up with inflation.
So 100 and something a month extra.
So for the average person, it is £1,617 annually.
That feels low.
Which is, you know, that's just to sort of keep up with inflation. It's how much your salary at the bare minimum.
That's how much you're losing every year, effectively, inflation at the rate it is.
But then when you look at sort of the higher earners, so for an MP, so like obviously our minimum wage banding here, 38 hours a week, that is to go from obviously about, we're looking at sort of post-tax values and things here, £20,590 up to £21,777.
And you don't get taxed quite so badly.
Exactly.
Easily,
but for an MP, which is the example they've given, which is, I know, which is, you know, feel sorry for us, but actually when you look at the figures on this, like, the number of people who are what we would originally call higher earners are saying that they are feeling the pinch more than anybody else. And when you look at the figures on this, you're like, oh. So for an MP who's earning £86,584 a year, they would need to find an additional £5,377.
Can we do a GoFundMe or something for MPs? You know? Because I must admit, my sympathy is pretty slim
for
that.
But actually,
I think it's because it's the MP band, though, because you just don't want anything. You don't want them to be happy. But,
You know, if you are on a higher, if you are a higher earner, the difference is far more marked on what those costs are, it seems, and actually where your salary needs to rise.
I see it. But I think if you're earning over 80K a year, you know, that's probably not the section of society we need to worry about massively. Like, I know everyone has their own circumstances, everyone has their own costs and things like that, but 80, that's a good salary. And
I think this is why we should all be alarmed that the minimum wage is 20, but even on 80, you're not promised a high quality of life. Because I think the expectation of people on 80 to 100 grand now is, oh, private school, nice life. But actually it's slight, if you live like in London, that's slightly bigger flat,
but it's
in zone 4, not 5. Yeah.
Like, private school, all nice life.
The sort of salaries that are not that aspirational, you could feasibly work towards if you, you know, put in the hours, made the sacrifices, getting to that level of salary. It's disappointing that that's not good enough anymore. Yeah. Like you could, you know, spend 20 years getting to be MD of a company and still you're like, well, this is fine. Whereas people who are mega rich, they're not feeling it at all. Yeah. So private schools will be even fuller of those people. And there are less people who have chosen that path. And we keep having MPs that are hugely out of touch with everything. So I did a radio phone in this week. And it was all about how much disposable income people have and what they want to spend their money on. And there's a stat about how DIY is down 5%. Like people are spending 5% less on DIY than they have before. And the experts said it was because of the weather.
I mean, was she an expert? Really?
If, you know, a senior person in a bank looked at that data and went, well, it must be the weather then. Because, you know, at that point, if you're on that salary, you are so out of touch. It's like, oh, consumer confidence is actually coming back. So it won't be that. I was like, who are you speaking to every day? Like,
other people who are on £120,000 a year working for a high street bank.
Yeah, where they felt the pinch. You know, maybe they'll have two holidays, not three. And like, it's just, but these people exist. They walk among us. They have no idea how bad looks.
Yeah.
And I think the trouble with the people in that middle bracket, because I'm one of those people that earns a real, you know, I've worked quite hard for it. I earn a decent salary, not anywhere near.
Building a career like, for 20 years in your field.
Yeah, like ridiculous hours. I put in the work. I paid for the degree to get me into it. And I had an expectation that even if it was incrementally going up every year, I'd never have to go back to worrying about when payday was. And as a result, over the last sort of 10 years or so prior to the cost of living crisis, I leveraged that. I took out credit cards that I was like, well, I'm absolutely going to be able to afford this debt. I took out, you know, credit agreements. I invested savings in things like Edinburgh Fringe because I thought I'd never need that as something to fall back on. And now I've got no money. And the cost of debt is going up loads as well. So if you're someone like me that lived on the credit cards and was like, oh, it's all right because I get loyalty points, I'll get Avios points. every month is getting even more expensive for me. So I can, as much as it's like, I don't feel sorry for people who are on 80 to 100 grand, I do get it.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's individual circumstances. It's easy to judge, but nobody expected it to get this bad.
No. I think the 40,000 to 60,000 banding, I think, is probably some of the hardest hit. Because when you look at sort of maybe they bought their homes before all of this kicked off. So they might have, you know, thought we're on a really decent wage. We didn't think we'd get to this point. Let's buy
a four bedroom house and live in it forever.
Buy our nice detached house in the countryside. And then all of the energy bills started going up. So suddenly now you need to find £400 a month for electric. And when you start to look at it in those figures, actually, where, you know, 45, 50,000 used to be a really comfortable living wage with even the cost of energy bills, you know, what's kind of an additional £300 a month over a year? It starts to become an awful lot of money.
And that's the thing. And it's hard to see an end to it at the moment, I guess, with it's budget time of year. Yeah. And we don't know yet because we're recording on the day.
Oh, it's budget day.
It's budget day.
I should have been more excited
budget
about that.
Day.
There's rumour of a cut to income tax to try and relieve this. You know, it's going to be, it's the kind of
Hail Mary.
Yeah, but they're going to pull out some rabbits to try and get people to vote them back in, I think.
Isn't the idea to do some slightly nice short-term things that will then have bad long-term consequences that when Labour get in, which they will, they're the ones who are left holding the mess. But at least in the short term, maybe it will relieve a bit of pressure on
And the thing about the budget is it's something that, because I work in sort of household money on a sort of money saving side, it's something that nobody's really engaged with. Like you'll see in the national press, in the money section, maybe there'll be a deconstruction of what this means. It's like, oh, if you've got a second home, it'll be this. But how it's covered in the red tops is usually cider's going to stay the same price. Woohoo! Yay! And cigarettes are going to cost slightly more. Like, there's a real gap in the market. Martin Lewis said it recently when he accepted his award for best personal finance journalist. He would like competitors. He said there's a real gap in the market for people talking about these things, honestly, talking about them in a way that people will understand and they can engage with. And maybe if people understood how big an impact this day made, they would be more inclined to vote. They would understand.
Isn't that also just the most massively, like, I am the winner comment to make? I would like there to be better journalists.
I'd like
beat
more
them
competition.
I just, I feel like he can't.
This bring me more. I'll beat you all.
It's true, though. There were no competitors in that field. It used to be Steph McGovern used to be one of them. They used
what
to be
did it? Was
like
he
Watchdog.
Running unopposed? It was like, literally, he won the award with no other nominees.
What other financial journalists
can I don't know, but he
I'm... Joe Lysett is somehow doing a better job than people
quite
who
bleak.
Are
so there is no one else.
But there is nobody talking about it. I didn't really...
There are loads of, to be fair, there are loads of really big, good financial journalists across the board, but the space that they've got to work with is so small. Like The Sun, it's the Sun Savers column, which is like one or two pages, and a lot of those pages are deals that they are sort of being paid to put in. The Telegraph, The Times, they have to cover people with big wealth as well as people who are on a budget. So they have to, you know, for every... This is how to save on streaming. They'll be, this is how to get the most from your investments this year.
Yeah, I love some of these.
Some of them go too economist, though. Do you know what I mean? Like to be accessible for people to really understand. And I think that's the issue.
But it's just, we've made personal finance a topic for the rich. It's less personal finance, more wealth management.
Mm. Yeah, I see people sometimes read the Financial Times and it's got that section called How to Spend It. That's their like little brochure. And I saw someone reading this the other day. I was like, mate. Honestly, I'm an expert in how to spend it.
Yeah. Most of us are.
Like, imagine being so wealthy that you're like, I hope there's a little thing in this newspaper to tell me how to spend my money because I can't get rid of it. It's like, so, and actually, I've seen inside that moat and it is a window into a different world. It's like, even just the adverts of things that you're like, I don't even know what the product is, but I know that it would cost about $8,000 just because of the way it looks. It's like, wow.
Quick fire round.
I mean, how do you compete with that?
There's just mumbling. Is that the other track that goes on? How do you compete with that?
Can we remix that?
How do you compete with that?
Quick fire. No, I'm not getting drawn into this again.
How do you compete with that?
quick fire. Make it sound a bit like a siren, like the casualty music. Instead of an ambulance sound, it's quick fire. Sound
terribly. They release the casualty. We've got to remember, we're old enough to remember. Like, they released the casualty soundtrack.
Like a banger version.
Yeah.
It's great. Oh, it's so good.
What? Oxide and Neutrino. And did it not get someone quite high in the chart? I don't know if it's number one, but it was like...
I remember them playing Interclubs.
Interclubs,
yeah. That's what I said. Anyway, okay. Item number one. Will we ever reach the lofty heights of the welding helmet? I don't know, but we're going to try. And it is here.
Sorry.
Yeah. Do you want to let me finish?
Yeah, because there might be more information. There might not be.
I kind
but there
of
might
hope
be.
There isn't.
Here by Lidl.
Sorry, was that? I'm confused. Is that a product for hair or are we buying hair?
I'm certainly none the wiser since
Lidl is selling hair.
Oh, yeah, because frequently all I've got in the card is three words. I definitely never have more information. Right, we are back over to the pile aisle in the middle of Lidl again this week. There's a pile in Morrison's now. We don't understand why it's there.
Just the big shit section.
The big shit section. They're like packs of pants, like chopping boards. There's no explanation where they found these
brands
items, but...
that you've never seen before.
Yeah.
Tell us more about the hair, please.
Right. Out of the garage into the bedroom with these Silvercrest. That's right. That famous hair brand.
I can picture the branding.
Silvercrest hair straighteners. Yeah. Let's take it back to the 90s with ceramic coated heating plates, an automatic switch off after 30 minutes. If you're not done by then, stop. When the fun stops, stop. A locking mechanism for compact storage, a 360 degree swiveling cord with a hanger loop, an on-off switch.
I love it.
With an indicator light, a max temperature of 180 degrees. Is that good? Who knows? And a 3-year warranty. How much for this dream styling item? GHC quality on a little middle aisle budget.
I'm going to say $22.99.
Oh, because I was going to say £20 before you said anything.
I'll go high.
I'll stick with 20. My knowledge of hair straightening products is not... it's not my strong suit, but I would say, £20.
I've gone high, I think. Anyway.
I don't know.
It is $8.99.
God, that's worrying cheap.
A bargain!
And you get the on-off switch with that as well.
Yeah, with indicator light, no less, wow. So you know if it's on or off. Jesus.
Are they like self-assembly?
You'd have to just put it on your head and see if it burns you. Like, God, that's
like
luxury.
Do you know what? They do Silvercrest curling tongs and a curling wand for the same price.
£8.99.
So for under £27, you can have all three of those things.
What I'm hearing is that for under £27, you can burn all your hair off.
Yeah. So anyway, point, Paul. The next item on our list is St. Patrick's Day. It's St. Patrick's Day this week, so we thought we'd respectfully nod to it with this next item. How much for an 8-foot-tall inflatable leprechaun from where else but Amazon? Warning, it is not available on next day delivery, so be sure to get in early to avoid disappointment.
I'm going to be honest. When you started saying that, I thought, what is the most respectful thing I can think of? And it is a giant inflatable leprechaun.
Well, for me, there's a
culture. Do you want to know more about it?
There's an immediate glaring design flaw here. Mm? If leprechauns are known for one thing, what is it?
Being little.
Being short.
Yeah.
So you've got an 8-foot leprechaun, you've immediately...
You've appropriated their culture and made an abomination.
Technically, the bigger this thing is, the less it should be worth, because the less it is like a leprechaun.
Yeah.
That's how I would argue.
I don't think that's how Amazon looks at it.
No,
let's find out together. Right, so apparently it's great for any occasion.
But if there were to be one that
I'm going to be honest, like, can you imagine being like just whipping at every seasonal event?
That's what I want for my 40th birthday. Yeah. Just want a whole
birthday parties.
I want
Christmas.
An army of 8-foot leprechauns.
Christenings. Oh, the lot.
Yeah.
A wedding.
It specifies it's the perfect decoration for parties, lawns, and festivals. Can be used both inside and outdoors. It is easy to set up. The inflatable leprechaun includes all you need to set it up quickly and easily, including yard stakes, a blower fan, and tether ropes. You know what? It illuminates holiday cheer, apparently. This leprechaun inflatable comes with a set of interior lights to illuminate your yard for maximum joy that the whole neighbourhood can see and enjoy. And
it lights up.
And to that point, it stands out. This St. Patrick's inflatable leprechaun stands at 8 feet tall, making it one of the biggest and most attractive inflatable decorations around. Simply attach your blower fan to your St. Patrick's inflatable and plug it in, and your inflatable leprechaun will be ready to spread joy in seconds. Right, how much?
In seconds? That's a very quick inflate.
I do like my leprechauns ready to give pleasure in seconds. That is a factor. Like that is definitely
rephrase it. That is perfect.
Right.
I'm going to say there's not going to be any difficulty with it being that big.
I'm not going to make any further comment. I think you. I'm going to say £80.
All right.
Oh, that's about what I would have said.
Higher or lower?
Oh, I hate the higher or lower game. Okay, at 81. I'm going higher then.
Point Paul, £56.75. What a bargain.
That is reasonable.
Get two.
They
prefer to have a friend, I've heard. You know, the Irish are very sociable. Like,
Paul will be its friend.
what kind of friend? Right.
But I thought the Santas are usually more expensive than that. So that's
yeah.
Right. So the next one, it is toilet roll. Now we are obviously.
No. Oh, this is not fair.
Oh,
come
you've
on.
Absolutely done me here.
How have you done you? This is like your mastermind topic.
We are, Paul, lucky enough to have our toilet roll correspondent here this year.
Let's roll.
So this should be a piece of piss for you. Yeah. You're going to wipe Paul out with this.
You haven't even appreciated Let's Roll. You wouldn't even acknowledge it. And I'm so upset.
Right. So this is like your dream, Charlotte.
No, it's not.
It is. No. Right. How much are Costco selling a pallet of 1,152 rolls of Cashel for?
I've never been to Costco, really. 152 rolls.
Why was that?
The only limit is how many you can fit in your car at that point. So it's a full pallet, which is 36 units of 32 rolls. So that's 1,152 rolls, to say that again. One unit is 32 rolls, which is 4 8 packs.
Why are you doing this to me?
There are 236 sheets per roll. It is a 3-ply. The sheet size is 104 by 118 millimeters, and the minimum roll length, which is weird, right? Why is there a minimum roll length? Why is there a discrepancy in the length of the rolls? That doesn't make sense. 27.8 meters, which I don't think is that that long.
See, I started out doing maths and now I've just got the sort of just spinning beach ball thing in my head.
Do you know what? Just guess. It's like when Rebecca Reid tried to work out a taxi to Paris. Like, it's just don't bother.
Good God.
Charlotte's doing some maths.
My maths is crap.
Boom.
Right, so you don't see the 32-roll packs in the supermarket very often. Typically, if it's like a shell pack, the biggest they do in the supermarket.
Well, they're not 32-roll packs, they're 8-packs. It's 4 8-packs per
32
unit.
8-packs. How many 8-packs?
It's 32 rolls, which is made up of 4 8-packs. So that is one unit.
8-packs? They normally come in... Okay. Well, 8-packs of Cachelle.
You're saying it as if you've never heard of the idea of 8-packs.
In supermarket quantities of Lurol, you have 4s, 9s, 12s, 24.
You get the 8-packs. They're the single sheet big block. You do?
I don't know.
I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
Do you know what? That's so many Lurols.
It's 2 layers of 4, isn't it? The 8-packs.
I've never seen one in the supermarket.
I don't care. No!
You literally can't picture it, can you?
I can't picture it at all because I'm working on supermarket pack size quantities, which are normally 9, 12 and 24. So a 24-pack of Cachelle, not on offer, normally retails at up to about $11.99 in some supermarkets. Right. If you're looking for a good deal, it's about $8.99 for a 24-pack of Cachelle. I mean, Paul, are you okay?
Why is this happening? Okay, carry on.
Oh, God. For 1,152 loo rolls, I'm going to say, oh, Christ.
Let Charlotte lead.
£300. No idea.
£300.
It's the 8-roll formation that's fucked her up.
I cannot visualise it. And I'm like, I can't do the maths on a palette that large. I buy them in the supermarkets. I don't buy in bulk like that.
It's fine. £200.
Okay, Charlotte, you've won, but it's £899.89.
Yeah. Well, no, I sort of figured it would be much
How
higher
How much does
than
that work out, Push?
Well, that's it. So I was thinking that actually... Oh, yeah, no, I meant to sort of triple that. 2.5 times that. Okay, yeah.
Right, it's 2-1. You kept the point on the toilet roll question. It'd be embarrassing if Paul had won it.
Oh, yeah.
But also, I think that's a good deal, so maybe we should look at Costco.
Yeah, but imagine the feeling of paying £800 and all you've got is loo roll.
I mean, who's got... That's privilege, that is.
Right, right.
The cheapest toilet roll is for people that can afford a £900 outlay.
£800 for 1,152
Cachelle
rolls.
No, closer to 900. 899.89.
Still not a good deal.
Charlotte reckons she can beat the Costco price.
Absolutely can if you bought them on offer. The best prices I've seen is a 24-pack. Sometimes you can get them for as cheap as about £9. On offer, so 24 packs for £9.
I long for toilet roll discourse. Right, that is the end of the episode. We're going to leave you on that, contemplating how cheap you could get a sheet of bog roll. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Paul, for being with me on this journey.
Thank you.
We're giving up to like 2 years this podcast now. It's astonishing, frankly. Thank you, Charlotte, for your unique insight into the toilet roll market.
No, you're absolutely welcome.
I can't wait to show you how prevalent the 8-packs are. It'll blow your mind.
I cannot picture it. I've never bought
an 8-pack. Charlotte. She's now on Twitter at char, C-H-A-R, reds, R-E-D-D-S. Tweet Charlotte.
Please don't.
Pictures of toilet rolls. Everyone. That is the end. If you enjoyed the podcast, please rate it and review it. If you've rated it, rate it again on another podcast provider. There are loads. And if you didn't enjoy it, you now have 30 days to return it for a full refund. Terms and conditions apply. Your statutory rights are not affected. We'll be back with you next week.